Tour. Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. President Trump is taking steps to sharply reduce regulations that have delayed major infrastructure projects across the country.
During a visit to UPS in Atlanta, the president said it's time to cut the mountains of red tape and make it easier to build highways, pipelines, chemical plants, and other projects.
This is a truly historic breakthrough, which means better roads, bridges, tunnels, and highways for every UPS driver and every citizen all across our land.
Critics are upset about the easing of a 1970 environmental law, but the president says federal reviewers will make sure that approved infrastructure projects are safe. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Alabama will begin requiring face masks after the state reported 40 deaths in a single day attributed to COVID-19. Alabama Governor Kay Ivey says she's taking a step she had hoped to avoid.
I am announcing a statewide mandatory mask wearing effective starting tomorrow, July 15th at 5 p.m. to be in place until the end of the month.
Alabama joins Arizona, Texas, and Florida, who have imposed restrictions as a result of coronavirus spikes. The latter three together reporting about 25,000 new coronavirus cases as new restrictions aimed at combating the spread of the pandemic take hold in the United States and around the world. Meanwhile, Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt says he has tested positive for the coronavirus.
I was pretty shocked that I was the first governor to get it.
But Governor Stitt says he would not issue a statewide mandate to wear masks. And this just in, prominent Twitter accounts, including Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Elon Musk, and Bill Gates, have been hacked in an apparent Bitcoin scam. On Wall Street, the Dow up by 227 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at relieffactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. Relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. Be the next success story.
In these challenging times, what is really happening? Is there a force behind it all? If you believe in the freedoms that founded America, if you're looking for answers, go to ProfitToAmerica.com. That's ProfitToAmerica.com. And download the free book, A Fresh Wind. Is God using this pandemic to bring us back to our roots? Go to ProfitToAmerica.com. That's ProfitToAmerica.com.
What if you could heal five times faster? Imagine all the things you could do. At PIBCOA, the Pain, Injury, and Brain Centers of America, we have technology that has only been used by professional athletes, but now have made it available to you. My name is Summer, and I am so honored to own the first clinic of this kind in the great state of Nevada. Every day, we're helping people in our new Las Vegas clinic heal from nerve and bone injuries, back pain, arthritis, lupus, concussions, depression, addiction, and the list goes on. We are thrilled to announce that we have a new piece of equipment specific to helping the brain heal from depression, anxiety, and brain injury. Stop managing your pain or illness and start healing from them today. Our non-drug and non-invasive treatments can help you feel better than ever before. Call PIBCOA, the Pain, Injury, and Brain Centers of America now at 702-546-8767. That's 702-546-8767 to start healing today.
It's 3:04. This is a KMZQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. 37 Clark County bars are taking Governor Sisolak to court, looking to reverse his recent directive closing bars to slow the spread of the coronavirus, claiming they have been unfairly singled out. The lawsuit seeks a court order rescinding the governor's directive, which went into effect this past Friday. Bars in seven Nevada counties have elevated coronavirus rates. They were closed under the directive. The governor's office declined to comment on that lawsuit. The judge who will decide whether the state unemployment office must pay Nevada's gig workers immediately will have the weekend to think things over. Judge Barry Breslow moved a hearing in that class action lawsuit from tomorrow to Monday. The lawsuit filed back in June seeks court intervention involving immediate payouts of pending benefits under the PUA program. State unemployment officials had no comment. A majority of Nevada's businesses are now in compliance with the COVID-19 safety regulations. State officials say the statewide compliance rate is now 80%. At the beginning of the month, Nevada OSHA officials reported a 49% compliance rate, which increased to 66% last week. The number of confirmed cases of coronavirus statewide stands at 29,619, with 612 deaths.
KRCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Come in right now for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95, along with a free AC inspection.
As we take a look at the traffic cams right now, we're getting some moderate flows on the Beltway, 215 northbound at Charleston, 215 west at Valley Verde. You'll touch the brakes there, Interstate 15 north at Hacienda and 215 west at Green Valley. Kevin Wall is next.
Gather around! Washington, D.C. It got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. Listen up. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It is live and local for a Wednesday, a hump day. We are halfway home. It is also, what is this, day 8 of the special session? Let's find out, because guess who's joining us? Dr. Robin Titus, Assembly Minority Leader, District 38. Is this day 8 or day 9? What day are we?
It is the actual 8th day that we've been in special session, although I will tell you many of my caucus members have been up in Carson City since Monday, because we held a caucus meeting on Tuesday. So for the Southern Nevada folks, and they've had to leave their homes and businesses to come here, and Northern Nevada folks have had to leave their businesses and come to Carson City.
How are
virtually,
they?
Some of them.
How are they keeping you safe in Carson City?
Well, I give an extreme amount of credit to the head of the Legislative Council Bureau, Brenda Rhodes, who has tried everything she can to fight this invisible monster by having the pre-screening before we walk into the building, unfortunately not allowing public in. So it's been, you know, for the public health not to be able to have public in it has been somewhat frustrating, but we have, as when I walked in just now, I had the National Guards out there checking temperatures, and they give you a sticker, you go through this evaluation. And as you are well aware, I'm sure, Kevin, we did have someone test positive last week, which absolutely pretty much caused us to lose a day, I feel, while we're out here trying to solve that problem. I felt it was inevitable, it's going to happen, but and it did.
Was it a member or was it staff?
It was, according to the press release somebody else got, it was a member. We have all now been regulated. People who are at risk and have concerns have been allowed to stay in their hotel rooms or in their offices and be able to participate via virtual program here. And just to note, nobody is sick. From what I understand, the positive was an asymptomatic positive, not somebody that was ill.
Dr. Robin Titus joining us, Assembly Minority Leader, District 38. And let me just ask you, because the number one priority in this special session is the budget and the $1.2 billion shortfall. Can you tell us where we are in the process
relative to the budget, relative to whittling down that $1.2 billion deficit?
Well, interestingly enough, we're at day number 8 of this special session, and we have yet to hear the budget bill. AB3 is supposed to be coming to us in the Assembly. We're trying to figure out these numbers. Our first 2 days here were really just budget hearings, so to speak. We heard from education. We heard from the governor. We heard from our Department of Public Health and Behavioral Health and all the folks that are concerned about health care. So we really have not heard the bill yet.
So tell me what you've been doing for 8 days.
Great question. There's a lot of waiting around. The Senate, I would give them great credit, has passed 3 bills over to our House, which we passed unanimously and sent back to them. One of the things that we've been doing as a Republican caucus is not just sitting and wasting our time. The Senate had their bills already printed and planned, and we're debating them. So while we were waiting for our side to show us some bills, we were able to look at the Senate bills and actually get our questions over to the senators so that when they heard those bills, they were able to share our, you know, ask our questions, and the appropriate amendments went in from our side so that by the time they got to our House, our Republican members were ready. We vetted them, and so we didn't have to get bogged down, and we were able to pass those bills.
Dr. Titus, do you feel after 8 days better equipped that we can handle this $1.2 billion shortfall? Do you see a way out at the end of the day?
Well, I always felt before we even got here there were ways out. One of the biggest ways is to decrease spending. We keep hearing the Democrats say, oh, you know, we need to raise taxes and we need to do this and we need to do that. But at the end of the day, if we do the appropriate budget cuts, that we perhaps eliminate some programs that were unnecessary, we look at what the federal government has already given us and spend that wisely, I think that we could have solved that problem much quicker than where we are right now.
I want to ask you about the governor's outreach. When it came to the pandemic, you talked to Scott Hammond, you talked to other members, John Ellison, other members of the delegation, and you find that the governor had very little outreach to Republicans, if any. Do you get a sense that the governor is upping the outreach to Republicans to get our ideas across?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We have had I haven't heard from the governor since we've been called to special session, so you know. He went on his broadcast and mentioned that none of the Republican leaders had reached out to him, and they all had his number, which, of course, wasn't true. We had reached out to him, and so I asked that my members reach out to him again and offer solutions and offer suggestions. One of our members did have a call with somebody on his staff regarding an idea that he had. But other than that, there's been no reaching out to us about what we would like. One of my big concerns is, the governor did call me 2 weeks ago on a Wednesday, the Wednesday prior to prior session. We were going to be called in. And I spoke with him and I said, Governor, we all know we need to fix the budget. We have some ideas. And if it was just about, if you just call us in to fix the budget, I think this process can go fairly fast. But unfortunately, we're also hearing that we didn't go fast. Here, we just called in for the budget, and here we are 8 days, and still no end in sight. And still, then he told me that there was some policy things that he felt he needed to do this time around. And I said, just stick with the budget. We could be in and we could be out. And if you talk about some policy issues that need to have a better vetting, perhaps that should wait until February when we're in session and we can solve some of those other problems. But I'm hearing we're going to have to come back. I'm hearing that there's the policy issues they're not going to let go right now, and we'll have to see where that goes, even if we solve the budget.
Now, are you convinced that before you leave Carson City, there will be a budget deal? I mean, they're not going to leave this thing undone, are they?
Correct. You're absolutely right. We can't leave, Kevin, we can't leave the state in red. We have obligation to balance our budget. I think the governor has good folks. I think the people in these departments are good folks. They want to want to solve the problems. I think both sides want to solve the problem. We cannot have a budget deficit. We will get a good budget. And then hopefully one of the things that we will take after this is that if there is some additional funding, we can backfill some of this. We heard on one of the times of testimony early on in the session that the tax revenues were greater than they had thought they would be. I'll tell you what would really solve this budget crisis. Get us back to work. That's the key to solving the budget.
And yet what the governor did last week was close down an entire industry, meaning the bars. And all of a sudden the bars, you got bartenders that are back on unemployment. Do you see anything happening there that on July 24th the governor might relent and reopen these establishments?
I absolutely hope so. The governor, I felt, we all expected, as we talked, you and I talked on your program and before about expecting a bump. We knew there was going to be an increase. The increase was higher than what they thought. But the most important thing about the increase in cases is that they weren't as ill. The number of ICU beds, the number of deaths, all those numbers, they haven't jumped dramatically. So what we're seeing, yes, as we go out and about and we become social again, we see more cases. We also, as everybody knows, are doing community-wide testing, so we're going to have an increased number on that. We have certain holidays, and I know especially in Clark County, they had like 400 positive tests that they didn't run, they didn't, you know, put into the system because they didn't work on the weekends. And so then you see a sudden bump. So I think a lot of these numbers are skewed, but there's no doubt there's been more cases. I think we need to continue to be smart about it. But there's no evidence, no science evidence that the bars are where these folks got this. It just doesn't make sense on what he is choosing to close versus others. I mean, you know, we see different buildings and different shops and people and the stores where they're closer together. And there has been no, you know, we saw some public demonstrations where hundreds of people were in these demonstrations and nobody wearing masks. But yet somehow or other, the bars are where people got this. I have a hard time believing that.
Well, and the fact that you had 79% of those establishments were in compliance. 79%, that's you know, 8 in 10 establishments. And you knew who the establishments were that were not in compliance. Why didn't he just close those establishments down until they came back into compliance?
Well, we have a lot of questions like that, that you and I both would say, well, here's the common sense thing, but that doesn't seem to be the word of the day when it comes to how this COVID response has been.
It's just, it's absolutely amazing to me. More coming up with Dr. Robin Titus, Assembly Minority Leader, District 38. She is with us from Carson City. Stick around. More to do as we continue along on a Wednesday right here on AM 670 KMZQ.
But as we address the how, we also have to know that we're addressing the why, and I think that's going to be critical in order for us to turn the page.
AM 670 KMCQ. Talk radio done right.
At Castle Insurance Group, their mission is to make life easier for you and your business. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Instead of you taking the time to hunt down the best prices for your homeowners, auto, and business insurance, the pros at Castle Insurance Group do all the hard work for you, and it won't cost you a penny more. The folks at Castle Insurance Group don't represent just one insurance carrier. They can look for the lowest prices and best coverage from a host of carriers. Name brands like Progressive, Nationwide, Travelers, Safeco, Dairyland, and many more. At Castle Insurance Group, they make buying insurance easy. Just a 10-minute phone call with a Castle Insurance Group representative, and you can get the lowest rates and the best coverage. You kick back and relax, and they do all the heavy lifting. Call my friends at Castle Insurance Group, 702-714-1060. Remember, the quote is absolutely free. That's 702-714-1060. One more time, 702-714-1060. That's Castle Insurance Group. Do you or a member of your family suffer from chronic pain? Would you like to make the pain go away? Hey, Kevin Wall here. Then you need to check out the Pain Injury Brain Center of America, now open in Las Vegas. At PIPCOA, they treat your chronic pain without addictive drugs and with non-invasive pain-free therapy. I suffered from chronic pain due to an impingement of my rotator cuff. I tried cortisone shots,
painful physical therapy, nothing worked. Then a friend suggested I contact PIPCOA, and after just 6-hour-long treatments, the pain went away. In fact, I canceled my scheduled surgery. And after a brief hiatus due to the coronavirus, PIPCOA is back accepting appointments. Whether your pain comes from headaches, a disc injury, broken bones, hip or knee injury, neuropathy, even PTSD, regardless of the source of your pain, PIPCOA can make the pain go away. You don't have to live with the chronic pain. Make the pain go away. Call PIPCOA at 702-546-8767. That number again, 702-546-8767.
I'm Kent Davenport of Quality Hearing Aids. A farmer once wanted to capture the wild pigs that were damaging his crops. He started out by putting some corn in a clearing in the forest. The pigs found the corn and came back for more free food, which the farmer continued to put out. He gradually built a pen in the clearing, leaving an opening for a gate. So gradually, the pigs were not alarmed. Then one day, when all the pigs were enjoying their free food, the farmer shut the gate, trapping the pigs. There is no such thing as a free lunch. So when politicians start talking about free stuff, be very, very suspicious and start looking for the fence. Kent Davenport, Quality Hearing Aids, QHALV.com, 3691321, QHALV.com. 3691321.
Hi, I'm State Senator Scott Hammond. These are difficult times for all of us, a time set apart, but our Las Vegas community has always come together when we need to. We all have a part to play, and it is heartwarming to know that our community is strong enough to fight this. Many of you also have questions or concerns, which is why I have compiled as much information and resources on my website as possible. Please visit HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. That's HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. Paid for by Friends of Scott Hammond.
If your retirement plan is on set it and forget it, it's time you take control. Tune in to Financial Safari with America's Wealth Coach and best-selling author Coach Pete DeRuda. For more than 25 years, Coach Pete has been helping people just like you plan for retirement. Join Coach Pete every week as he discusses topics like why your retirement plan should also be an income plan, and how to make sure you're getting the most out of your 401k. Financial Safari with Coach Pete, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 5 p.m., and Tuesdays at 6 p.m., all right here on 670 AM, KMZQ.
Big-name guests, the news of the day, mixed in with a diversity of opinions. Live and local with Kevin Wall, weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Back with Dr. Robin Titus from Carson City, Assembly Minority Leader, District 38, and this whole special session, which is now 8 days long, and we're still trying to figure out when they're going to come up with a budget. But there were a couple of other items that were on the wish list of the governor to talk about during this special session. One of them, obviously, is Dieter. Another one is racial justice. There may be a couple of other things that are on there as well. Dr. Titus, can you tell me where we are on some of these other subjects? And well, are we, for instance, going to get to the bottom of Dieter?
I would tell you, Kevin, that is one of the major concerns that we have here. We have just recently heard from some constituents and businesses that the fraud in Dieter is rampant, that there may be as much as $240 million, and that's just a figure that's been bounced around, no documentation, just a number that perhaps has been wasted in fraud at Dieter. They don't even have a director right now. The one that the governor originally appointed resigned, and the one that replaced her went back to her previous job. So there's not, at this time, even a director to Dieter. We still continue to hear about people not getting their unemployment checks, people desperate now. And then we've gotten calls just this last week from businesses and physicians who've had their identity stolen. And you know, I reached out to our attorney general and said, what is happening with Dieter? Are you looking into this? And he assured me that they are doing what they can, that they have a task force. And he told me that he was going to do a press release and
get to down to the bottom with through the FBI, you know, working with the FBI and other agencies and with his task force. But there's no question that it's been abused. We have to shorten the process. We have to make sure that Nevada citizens who deserve unemployment compensation have access to it. I still have folks who haven't gotten through the phone lines yet.
Well, is it a software issue? Is it a manpower issue? What is it? Why can't somebody just out of a checkbook start writing checks?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I think it's all of the above. I think, you know, this is unprecedented unemployment rates. They were not ready to handle it. So there's no blame there. Nobody predicted this was going to happen. And so they were suddenly, you know, the governor, we're struggling with our one bill that we have to look at, AB1, which is about furloughing state employees. And we're giving them, you know, 30-day notice, and we're giving them input onto how that will affect them and that kind of stuff. Our poor businesses and the general public and the employees of those businesses in this great state, they got 12 hours notice that they couldn't work anymore. And at that time, what do you do? So you try to help them, and it overloaded the system. So once we saw that, then we had a special IFC meeting, and we were able to give them more funds. Trying to get the phone access correct. The computers weren't able to handle it. The federal money came in. We have that. It's not the money. It's just accessing it. So it's been terrible for these folks. Just horrendous. I can't tell you the heart-rending stories I get, and every single one of the legislators here, on both parties, are hearing from their constituents about how they haven't been able to reach DETR or get their unemployment and how all that works. So it has been a nightmare for them. I'm not sure legislatively we can fix that. So it'll be interesting to see what the governor's suggestions are.
Will there be federal dollars rolling in from Washington? I know the governor put out a release yesterday begging and groveling at the feet of the feds, asking for federal dollars. Have you had any contact with the federal government relative to whether there will be dollars like that coming to Nevada?
I believe there will be another wave of funding. Yes, I have had some contact with some folks in the federal government. At some point, that may be coming in. I will tell you that yesterday, in the resolution that was passed, which we did support, and I'm going to tell your listeners why, that resolution yesterday, as you said, put out by the Democrats, which, by the way, we saw a copy of 5 minutes before we were called to the floor to vote on it. That's how they communicate. But I will say we knew something like that was coming. So I had a statement in opposition of that because of the $13 billion the feds have already given us, the fact that there's no transparency on so much of where that money has gone, the fact of the fraud with DETR and some of these other issues that are happening and how they've dispersed those funds, and then for the Democrats to, as you said, grovel to our president and beg him for more money, for me, it's the absolute height of hypocrisy. So but then after talking to some of my other caucus members, we realized that our president's going to do the right thing for the state of Nevada. And so in my floor speech, I addressed that $13 billion the feds have already given us. I addressed how we've had an increased budget under this administration, how we need to have more transparency. We can't even fix it because we can't see these numbers. That if our president chooses to help Nevada out, he will do it in a bipartisan manner. He will do it with the numbers and hopefully with more transparency and a little bit more control on how we do that. So I support it if our President Trump chooses to do so. So I want to back our president the best I can.
I want to ask you about what remains. Nobody thought this thing would go 8 days. It has gone 8 days, and it doesn't look like it's going away anytime soon. I'm talking about the special session. And again, Dr. Robin Titus, Assembly Minority Leader, joining us. What is your sense? You have all these other topics that the governor wants to talk about, racial justice and some other things. Do we know when the next special session will be? Will it be 10 minutes after you gavel out of the first one?
Well, I will tell you, we're not near to gaveling out of the first one yet. The Senate has to hear the current bill. They're going to hear SB3 on the mining a mining payment tax, paying their payments earlier. That they're hearing that today